Hey, have you ever had a customer call you up in a panic, said, "We have just deleted a whole bunch of data. How do we get it back?" But it's not just restoring the whole environment. We only deleted this little bit of data. How do we get that back? Has that ever happened to you?
No, usually it's me calling one of the Dynamics seniors on the team going, "I deleted this thing because I was drinking wine and exporting and importing and didn't think, and then it's gone. What do I do?" And they say, "Relax, have another glass, darling. I'll fix it for you." And and they kind of get it back, and I have no idea what they do.
Okay, fair enough. So this, I've had that customer's call, like, "Oh, shoot.
You've been on the other end."
I've been on the other end. Comes in like, "Oh, I've been drinking wine and I did this and this." It's like... Welcome, everyone, to the Power Platform Boost podcast, your weekly source of news and updates from the world of the Power Platform and the Microsoft community, with your host, Nick Dolman, and Lytica Akabek. Good win.
I won. Toot, toot. Hi, everyone. Welcome to... No, I don't have to say that anymore. We're going to have to do this over.
What?
Okay. Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I don't really want to be here for once, because I was outside on my veranda and I was getting my tan on, because today in Norway, it's summer. Who knew that that could happen in the middle of May? But it's 24 degrees. The sun is just, it's so awesome. And it's so quiet. And it's Sunday for once, because we're recording as early. And the birds are singing, and it's just this little rattling in the trees, and it's just so beautiful. I just love it. So when we're done, and I hope we're kind of we're fast today, so I'll just run out and I'll just bake in the sun somewhere. How are you?
I'm good. It's rainy here. So.
Of course.
This is what we do. We always talk about the weather, and it's funny because now with using some of the show notes stuff, it always comes out, discussion about the weather. It's like the first chapter.
We're Canadian and Norwegian. What can you do? It's important in our lives. And I think makes us appreciate good weather more. Feel it in my whole body. I have so much energy, and I just soak up all the sun rays. I just love it. So, and I know in my heart, I can never live somewhere without seasons. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason we are doing this on a Sunday morning is because normally we record on a Monday morning, and then that way it's like, you know, it's a nice break from work and whatnot to do the recording. But actually, I'm traveling to Colorado this week, to Denver, going to Dynamics Con, and my flight tomorrow is early tomorrow morning during the time we normally record. So that's why we're recording now on a Sunday, of course, but everybody hears us on a Wednesday, so it really doesn't matter.
No, to us it's important, but not to the people, because we'll get this out in time. So what are you doing in Denver? What's going on?
In Denver, it is Dynamics Con. It's a conference. They started a couple years ago. I think in the pandemic, a lot of the people that used to work for Dynamics Communities started up sort of a virtual something, like virtual conference, and then they decided to start doing live conferences. So I've been on their virtual conference a couple times, and now this is the first time I'm actually going to their live conference. So I'm pretty excited about seeing that. Quite a few people in our community will be there speaking on various topics. Of course, I'm doing an intro to Power Pages. I'm not sure if you ever heard of it before.
Your introduction to Power Pages by heart.
Yeah, it's like I kind of know you're styling Power Pages by heart, even though I'm not good at it. But that's why I keep going back. Well,
maybe I should revisit it then. If it's not sticking, if you don't get anything out of it, then maybe it's just you. Maybe it's just a lost cause, but maybe I should mix mine up then, because it's obviously not working.
Maybe I should just do the homework.
Yeah, maybe. Not just watch that. But that goes for a lot of things, I think. You know, you go to conferences, you see all these amazing sessions, and you think you learn so much, and then you go back, and then what you actually do with it. But I think it goes back to things we've talked about before. It's more the threads, you know, when you know the threads to pull if you need them. So if you ever needed to style Power Pages, you know where to go.
Absolutely. And that, and it's funny, that's a nice little, I know I'm going to jump around a little bit, but that's a little segue into one of the, hey. I know, a nice one too, about the, the link you put in here about how do you keep up on the Power Platform? And it's got both of our initials attached to it. And this was by a post by Jukka from Finland. Of course, everybody knows who Jukka is. It's like, you know, does a lot of cool stuff on, like all about Power Platform, but licensing. But he wrote a very interesting article about how to really keep up and the reality about that and what you put this statement here. Everybody is faking it is collective knowledge. And I mean, it just sort of hit home because I get this question a lot. Well, how do you get started and how do you know so much? It's like, I don't know hardly anything. Like I know certain things, but even like we looked at this week, I did a video on something that you showed me in Power Pages and I've been working in Power Pages for years. So it just goes to show, it's like we have this collective community knowledge and you can't know everything.
Yeah. No, back in the day you could, when the platform was small, there were only a handful of us, you know, doing stuff. Then I felt like I had the kind of the grasp on everything. But I think these days you need to find your niche, your thing, your little, you know, the tea, right? So you need to know a little bit about everything. And then you have to have that solid, that column that you really know a lot of things about. And even then we piggyback on each other's content all the time. I think it's also a good segue into a couple of other things I want to talk about. So a podcast episode with Mark Smith, with Franco Musso. And thank you, Franco, for the very nice shout out. It really, really means a lot to me. I met Franco years and years ago. He's not an MVP, but he's really knows his Power Pages stuff, especially styling. So you'll remember Franco did the Spotify clone back in the day. Megan Walker was his mentor when he spoke at Scottish Summit back in the day. That's when we kind of connected the first time. We went to dinner and we've been working together on projects in Norway. Such an amazing guy. And he talks to Mark Smith about how you need to find your niche thing, because he's an independent and most of his works comes from LinkedIn. And it's because he says, I've never heard anyone approach me and ask, Franco, do you know any dynamics in generalists, right? It's always, customers are always looking for that specialist. So if you go independent or if you're looking kind of to get that specialist, find your thing, find the things that you get excited about and dive in. And don't be afraid to ask, because we're all here to help. And it's back to what Jukka is writing. It's that collective knowledge. That is where the power of this community is. And you and I, we do this every single day where I bring someone in and you run with something or the other way around. So yeah, and let's never stop doing that, because that's where this power comes from.
Absolutely. And I think I've said before too, you don't always... It's cool that, oh, I want to get into Power BI or I want to get into this. I always find that it's a little bit opposite. You don't always get to pick. Sometimes it chooses you in terms of the projects you take on or the things. Like the same with me, Power Pages was not a choice for me. Well, it was. Everything's a choice in the end. But really, it was something that I kind of fell into. This is something that was needed on a project that I needed to become. I had needed to, in that T shape, I needed to go down that hole and learn this fairly rapidly. And luckily at the time, the company I was working for supported that. So that's how I, you know, became that expert. And then of course, it's all about sharing all of the stuff you learn along the way. And again, I've always said, I write my blogs or do my videos more for my future self. And of course, now that I'm back in being an independent, it's the same thing. Like, the stuff I've done the last few times is really more for my own kind of knowledge. And I have a whole bunch of content coming around Okta integration, because that was something I had never touched before until this project we're working on now. And now it's like, no, I don't know everything, but I've learned a lot that I hope really helps accelerate someone else down the road that's trying to figure this out. So,
Definitely. And this goes, and I know we, so in this particular project, we had a, you, you brought up something that really no one thought about. So how to onboard existing customers. You have a huge existing customer base. We need to bring them in. It's going to be a migration project to bring all of those contacts into Dataverse. How do you onboard them in a new Power Pages site without all of them having to go through that registration process again? And it's a thing that we come across in many projects. Sometimes we'll start from scratch, but you brought into that conversation a blog post that you made a couple of years ago. We asked someone in the product team for a specific detail, and you kind of figured it out by re-engineering it from the back to the front kind of thing. And we tried it out together, and it worked. And it is collective. It is together mm-hmm. that we make this work.
Absolutely.
And also wanted to, yeah, sorry. So that yeah, great thing that you have those. I loved when we can get those resources up, we're going to, of course, shout it out to everyone, because this is something that many people will come across in the project.
Mm-hmm. And it goes to show, like, this is the great thing about the community. Even me as an independent, I'm not, you know, of course, I'm working on the project with you, but working on other projects or doing other trainings. We're not, even if we're in a company of one like I am, we're not working in silos or community. We work together, extremely collaborative. Like I post questions on a Slack group we have or WhatsApp or whatever. And immediately people are answering or giving pointers or things like that. So it's many. And the thing is, sometimes we're even competitors in the whole space, but you know, this expression I like is rising tides lifts all boats. So if we're all helping each other out, we're all going to benefit from it.
And also it comes with the humility to acknowledge that we don't have to know everything. That's something I struggle with personally, to have a question posed and I'm the expert in the room and maybe I don't know. Of course, I have you. So I always have someone to ask, very good question. I know someone that probably can answer this. And usually in sessions as well, same thing goes. People come at me afterwards. And maybe I don't have the answer to the question. But if we pretend that we know the answers to everything and we don't dare to go out there and say, I don't know this, then we will never get that knowledge sharing, because then that opens up a space for other people to contribute. So it's finding that balance where you know your things, but also being honest about things that you don't know, because that may seem like a defeat for you, but it opens up that space for others to come in with their knowledge. And that goes for us. We are both in an expert, Power Pages expert architect position at this customer. And even we say, we don't know the answer to this, but we'll work it out because we know mm-hmm. we can.
Right.
And that kind of brings me also to another segue, actually. See, this is the segue podcast episode. One of the guys that I have on my team, he made a blog post about how to mitigate that Power Pages move through to the different downstream environments with pipelines. So Platform Pipelines been around for a while. I've spoken about ALM with Power Pages using Power Platform Pipelines on conferences this whole year. But there is a gap where you can use environment variables in Power Automate flows, but you cannot use them in Power Pages directly. So if you have authentication set up, for instance, usually you want to have different endpoints, for instance, to Okta or Azure AD B2C for the different downstream environments. If you're not careful when you set this up the first time and you have clean environments, it will work, because you can now move Power Pages with managed solutions through to downstream environments. Then you can set up authentication and it will create an unmanaged layer. Next time you push your managed solutions through, it won't touch that unmanaged layer. Yeah. Stig on my team, he has had a customers where it's not perfect. They came into environments, they're already set up. There's so many things, there's so many layers. They can't rely on that managed solution and the layering this way. So they have to figure out a way to dynamically set the return URL to the authentication every time they push that through downstream environments. So he's been diving into the new data model, the virtual tables, how to get that site component thing, how to get that ID of that specific site setting that you need to set, and how to do that with extending Power Platform Pipelines with Power Automate. I think it's a very good blog post because it will open up your mind to what possibilities are out there for extending Power Platform Pipelines and also using site components in the new data model for Power Pages with Power Automate. So there's so many good snippets of knowledge that will kind of point you that you can use for other things. So it's kind of a blog post that goes through a myriad of things. And just wanted to shout out to Stig Ark. He's doing such a good job. It's his first blog post because I'm, of course, encouraging all my people on my team to blog and make videos and share their knowledge. I'm so excited to see Stig do this. So look out for Stig Ark, people, because I know that there's much more coming.
Yeah, very brilliant mind. I love talking to him sometimes and just bouncing ideas and things. And it's really cool to see. And like, yeah, it's amazing. Mm. So
photographer, designer, web developer. I mean, come on, it's a total package, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know if you ever, like, I've been on a walk with him when we were doing some training. We walked from the hotel to where we're doing the training. And he is constantly stopping, taking pictures of just random like alleyways and walls and artwork he sees. It's sort of like, oh, it's just interesting to see someone else through someone else's eyes, that kind of thing, right? So, yeah. Mm.
It's almost like walking with a child that sees everything for the first time. Oh, look at this. It's so exciting. That's what a creative mind will do, right? So, and that's a photographer mindset. You see things for the fresh eyes and you want to capture it for the world. Yeah. No, I definitely want to look at one.
Cool.
And so you have another, because I could segue some more if you want.
Oh, go keep segueing. It's all working out. We're covering our stuff. So, yeah.
Because this is kind of neat, because we talk about someone new coming into the community that we're encouraging. Now, I was on a podcast type situation the other day with someone who's very instrumental to my career. And his name is Nick, and he does Power Pages and he's in Canada, but it's not you. It's, of course, Nicholas Hayduke, engineer called.
Yes.
10-year anniversary. There's a blog post that he made, he and his team. So I can't remember who said that. I think it was Jurgen who commented on one of our posts that, you know, we should let the team know because they think that there's a team behind our podcast. There isn't, but...
Well, I think it was Danny. Nick, Danny.
Actually a team. Yeah, Danny. Danny. It was Danny.
Yeah.
But with Nick, it's actually a team. So he does have people helping him.
So it's cool, right?
So you recorded. Yes. So he interviewed a couple of people from the community. I'm so honored that Nick wanted to talk to me.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. No, not of course, not for me. And he talked to you and a couple of other people, and the videos are coming out through May. I think they're going to release them on different dates. Mine is coming out on my birthday, 24th of May, so that's really cool. And also, I flipped it around when I talked to Nick, because he's been interviewing all these great people. And I said, did anyone interview you? And he says, no. So I want to hear what your answers to these questions are.
Awesome.
So I flipped it around and we recorded another episode where I interview Nick and we get to hear his insights into all the different things that he's asking. So that was really cool. I'm excited just to get for you guys to see that as well. Cause he has some great insights. He's been with this product for a long, long time.
Yeah. No, and it's a great, interesting story. So of course, like, it's 10 years of his company, Engineered Code. So if you're learning Power Pages, or, you know, need tidbits, definitely subscribe to his YouTube channel. It is like Nick's stuff on there, plus his blog and everything. And yeah, it just keeps coming. And he keeps posting these memes and stuff like that out as well around Power Pages, which are just funny little tidbits you see on social media. So, and Nick's a really good guy. I've known him for quite a few years. We have a very interesting story how we met, which he doesn't admit to. He doesn't acknowledge, but that's a story for another day. But yeah, it's really cool. Congratulations, Nick, and congratulations, Engineered Code, for 10 years and many, many more. You're doing what I like about what Nick does, the same thing that we talked about before. They have a lot of great tribal knowledge, but they're very eager to share and expand out and share that through different things. He does a call every month, a Power Pages call, does that with, I think, MSC or M World. Plus he does the blogs and the videos, the whole bit. Plus, and then, yeah, these interviews are very interesting. So I saw the final version, which I think is going to be out maybe this week or next week, or I think maybe the week before yours. But yeah, look for those.
Yeah. And also we saw a question. This question pops up all over the place so many times, and it kind of baffles me that people are still asking. So I want to get started with Power Pages. Where do I start? And I'm like, dude, just Google how to get started with Power Pages, or just go to Engineer Code. Because the tip, if you combine the tips, the Power Pages tips that Nick does, mm-hmm. and the Power Pages community calls that he does, you've covered everything. And then you have ARPIT's 30-day challenge with end-to-end mm-hmm. Power Pages. And then you add Victor Danta's Zero to Hero 3 years in a row on top of that. Dude, come on. If you can get through all that, then you know everything there is to know about Power Pages. There's so much content out there. Kind of feel like it's a, you know, just people. When we started, there was literally nothing, nothing, not a single thing. We had to rely on each other's, our own blog posts, and kind of just, asking on email, sending emails to you, asking you questions. And nowadays, it's so much. Tino's newsletter. Come on, people. It's just, don't be so lazy. Google it. Try to see what's what.
Yeah.
And speaking of Tino, sorry.
Nope. Keep going.
I think this is going to be Ulrika's rant segue podcast episode.
Yeah.
You'll get to say, you'll get to speak.
I'll go for a coffee. Okay, you keep going.
Yeah. Just do that. It's okay. So another segue, Tino's newsletter, right? So he has a Power Pages newsletter comes out every week with all the new stuff and resources and blog posts and everything you can imagine related to Power Pages. It's such a good resource. And Tino was awarded MVP.
Yes.
Last week.
May 1st. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woohoo.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It was so congratulations. Good. So, totally well deserved.
Yes, absolutely. We nominated him, and we've kind of been... Did we talk about this last time?
No, we didn't.
We meant to, but
we didn't.
I didn't. I don't think we had the time, because we recorded before we knew. So just wanted to say, from the bottom of our hearts, Tino, you deserve it so much, and I'm so happy to see you get that award that you deserve. So keep up the good work, and shout out to you even one more time. So
And we got to meet Tino.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So it was even doubly cool. Like I said, like I think we talked about in our Color Cloud episode, the stuff that he's cooking up and working on, it's amazing what he's coming up with. So yeah. Big shout outs to a lot of people, great people on this episode. I love it.
Yeah. Big shout out segue episode. Right. So do you want to dive into the list of the things to talk about? Because we're kind of all over the place today.
I think we were segueing. It's all good. If we go back to the list, now we have to, there is news and updates as well. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff I looked at, there is something about the new plugins and embracing virtual networks. I won't dive too deep into that,
No, can you please just tell me explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Can you explain? Because I don't understand what this is. So okay, this is a good way for the people that don't understand. Mansplain it to me, please.
Okay. So the way I understand it and the way I'm reading about it too is like with the virtual, like basically with virtual networks. So right now, if I want to, if I build a power app for a company and we roll it out, technically, someone could sign in from anywhere in the world and access that power app with their credentials. No problem. But, obviously there's some good security concerns of where is that data being passed around and that kind of thing. So this way, this talks about setting up a virtual network, meaning I'll still need, before I can run my power app, I'll need to connect through my virtual network to my organization. And that sort of
is this
now
VPN?
Means kind of VPN, but sort of kind of taking it more sort of built and baked into the whole process.
Okay.
That's my understanding anyway. And then this also now allows plugins to be configured that they will run within those virtual networks as well. So it just basically tightens up the whole security process. And of course, customers are always a bit nervous going, well, if someone can access this data on the other side of the world, then who's, sniffing network lines and tracking data and all this. Now, if it's all within a virtual network, of course, it still travels with those lines, but it's all encrypted. and it's much more secure, and it can't, there's less chance of it, the data sort of being kind of put out there, opening up ways for malicious actors to get in, that kind of thing. Basically just a man tightening up the fences and the security and the guardrails around that.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense if you have very sensitive data, or you're in a very sensitive industry, or this, you know, the Ministry of Defense of the US government or something like that. But, you know, VPNs, for me, that's on-prem SharePoint. That's way machine. So,
True, it is. But there's still, like, even with Azure and stuff like that, you can have, like, dedicated network lines into Azure data centers. So you can still run your cloud, but it's only, you can only act like you're controlled access into your cloud, basically through certain doorways.
Makes sense. So if you want your thing very, very, very secure, then there's another thing that you can kind of close the thing and make. Yeah. Good.
Right. And if you want to get things, you upskilled on security with networking and Copilot, then you found something about the Copilot Ninja Security Certification.
Look at us segueing. Copilot Ninja Certification was suddenly one day on LinkedIn, it was everywhere. I saw so many people posted in the community, oh, I'm a Copilot Ninja certified. And I had to look into it and what it was. And of course, I picked this up and I go, oh, I need to do this. And then I put it in the show notes, and then I don't have time. So maybe Nick, you go through all the challenges and all the certification, all the applied skill things. So maybe this is for you. You can become a Copilot ninja.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm on day 180 of the 90 day challenge that Mark Smith put out. So.
But you're doing the 90-day prep challenge. I think, you know, you signed up. That's what, yes. You finished it, didn't you? Yeah.
Okay. Almost done.
Right. So the real reason why because that's one thing. You see all of these things pop up. It's not a Microsoft certified certification. It's something else. It's someone else. It's a partner or something that has the certifications. It's not an official Microsoft one. But the link that we put in the show notes, it is absolutely jam-packed with all the threads that you need to become very, very skilled at Copilot security. I can't imagine this resource this extensive. So this post that we'll post, go through that and you'll find everything you need to know about Copilots and security and throughout the platform. So it's a very good technical skilling curriculum from beginner to intermediate to advanced. There is a checklist that you can go through, how to get started, how to become proficient, how to grow into an expert. And there's, of course, links to learning paths and tests you can take. And so it starts off with, take this test. If you pass 80% or more, then you can request the certification. Cool. Absolutely. If that's what you need, then put that on your LinkedIn profile, and that's a good certification to have.
Cool. Hey, yeah. Have you ever had a customer call you up in a panic, said, we have just deleted a whole bunch of data. How do we get it back? But it's not just restoring the whole environment. We only deleted this little bit of data. How do we get that back? Has that ever happened to you?
No, usually it's me calling one of the Dynamics seniors on the team going, I deleted this thing because I was drinking wine and exporting and importing. I didn't think. And then it's gone. What do I do? And they say, relax, have another glass, darling. I'll fix it for you. And then they kind of get it back. And I have no idea what they do.
Okay, fair enough. So I've had that customer's call, like, oh, shoot.
You've been on the other end.
I've been on the other end. Yeah, it's comes in like, oh, I've been drinking wine and I did this and this. It's like, you know, no. So usually it's, I find it's actually one of these things that happened. This is a user design thing where you do it. Someone will have a subgrid with child records in a model-driven app, and then they'll want to delete a few of the child records and they'll highlight them, but then they'll hit the delete button on the top form, which deletes the whole record plus all the child records. And then depending on the association, it's gone. And this has happened more than once. It's realizing like, and it's usually by the power user that's at the client. Of course, they have full system admin privileges, meaning they have access to the delete button, which for everybody else, we remove access to, right? Mm-hmm. So this has happened a couple times. And, so sometimes it's a case, I know once I had to restore another environment and extract the data and re-import it to say that the other time it was me being lucky that when I did the association configuration, I didn't do the delete. I didn't do cascade all. I just removed link. So I was able to recreate the header record and relink those child records. Still extra work. And then, of course, go in and, you know, the command bar and get rid of the delete button, even for administrators, just to be on the safe side. But all that being said, where this was leading to is there was an announcement this week that there's a new feature that's coming out to be able to restore deleted Dataverse records. So that means if you delete, it goes into a recycle bin for, you can set the number of days. I think the default is 28 or something like that. And then if it's deleted that way, if someone goes in that panic, it's like if it's within 28 days, you'd be able to go in and restore those records, including the associated child records that might have got deleted as well. So,
oh, that's fantastic. Does that, so then that applies to Power Pages as well, because that's records, right? So if you delete your website or you delete that big list that you've been working on because you were in the basic form metadata, for instance, and you kind of hit delete on the wrong thing, then you can actually get it back.
Yes.
Yay. Yeah,
very exciting. It's interesting because it reminded me, and this is the old man Nick segment back in my day. In CRM 4, 3 and 4, the way it worked, this is our on-prem systems, when you deleted something in CRM, it wouldn't actually delete the record in SQL in the back end. It would flip a bit. And then there was a job that ran every night that would actually go through all the records that were marked for deletion, would delete them. So I've had it, I remember customers like, oh shoot, we accidentally deleted data. Like, when did you delete it? Well, this morning. Okay, no problem. I was able to go back into the SQL server, find those records and flip that bit. Of course, completely unsupported to write to SQL directly. Can't do that in the cloud now, but sort of remind, when I saw that, I kind of like, oh yeah. And it was like, It kind of goes back to that a little bit. So anyways, we'll have that in the show notes. Check out, that's a preview feature right now, but that might save you a lot of time and agony in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so when you're, someone calls in your call center, you can have a case going and you can help your internal IT people restore it. And then Copilot can automatically create a knowledge article from it. And like Diane Taylor is showing us in her latest blog post. So trying to not so skillfully segue over to one of Diane Taylor's latest blog posts, which is Dynamics 365 knowledge articles. That this is a preview feature today as well, that allows Copilot to generate a knowledge article in Dynamics 365 customer service based on case resolvement. Now, you've had the ability to do this for a while yourself, but this, you can tick a box and enable this, and you have a button in the command bar, and you have this new proposed new knowledge to be added to the case resolution form. So very good article, Diane. Thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. It's going to be very helpful going forward.
Yeah, Dion does amazing videos and stuff. Like, it's just interesting. And a lot of times she has her dog in her videos and stuff as well. I've seen that.
You should bring Hudson. So, we should have that. And I should bring Sanya. We'd all do that with the cats.
Yeah, the pets episode. Yeah. I'm not sure how that would work out. Cool. Yeah, all right. What else we got going on here?
Right. So, for instance, the run history is kind of on the same line, don't you think? It's kind of error tracking and going back. Do you want to tell the people what it is?
Yeah, very timely that this came up, because we were discussing with our project as well, because we do use Power Automate quite a bit and how we're going to monitor all of this. I think I've been in projects where, we've set up the Power Automate. It works great until it doesn't, but then no one knows it quit working until they realize, things aren't, you know, messages aren't being sent out or renewals aren't being sent out. And it hasn't happened in a few weeks and no one noticed because there was no alert or message or things like that and how to monitor it. Now, I know the Center of Excellence has a lot of tools in there to help monitor your flows in this, but this is provides, this again is another thing in preview of how you can manage that cloud flow history within a Dataverse table. So there's a table that's being added called Flow Runs, which you can put in a Dataverse table. Of course, that means you can put it in a model-driven app, and this sort of helps an administrator kind of monitor that. And of course, once it gets into those, you know, that table, then you can, you know, if something fails, well, then you can send, you know, alerts or things like that, or even build a dashboard or help monitor and see what's going on with your Power Automate. So I know that there's still a few gaps, so it's still preview, and they acknowledge, it's interesting how they acknowledged about in that article when they're going GA, and they said, we're not going to go to GA until we've addressed these gaps. So it was kind of a message of, I found that very interesting because Microsoft is usually a sort of like, yeah, we're waiting on, you know, yes, it will be, it's in preview now, meaning it's not necessarily supported. I know a lot of customers won't touch preview features. They always want it to be GA, and I appreciate that. But this was a case of they were saying when it will be, like, not so much the date of when it'll be GA, but the parameters of which they would make this GA. And I love that. I hope Microsoft continues to do that because that gives people a better understanding. Like, you know, you hear the complaints like, oh, why isn't this GA yet? This has been in preview and things like that. Well, there's certain thresholds and certain things to make it supportable that Microsoft wants to reach. So I think that was pretty cool. So yeah, definitely check that out in terms of if that's an issue that you're running into with monitoring your cloud flows and see what's going on there.
Yeah. So then you can kind of intercept yourself. So you have a flow and that fails and that goes into flow run. So you can have a Power Automate that triggers. So when a new flow run with a certain status is created, then you can have a Power Automate kick that off, and then it'll create another run flow run, and that will, yeah, and you'll have that going. Do you think that will then tell you, like it usually does for me when I create an infinite loop, that, sorry, you've created an infinite loop. You have to make sure that this doesn't trigger itself and creates a complete mess.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think this is more of what's happened as opposed to what is happening. Like it's different from the checker that's within Power Automate, but yeah. Definitely. Again, a lot of these things, like we scan, we read, but we don't have time to try these out either. And sometimes we can't because it says it's coming, but it might not be available on our tenants yet. So, things to keep an eye on. We're all learning together, right? This is part of the community. Like, hey, everybody, check this out. You know, so
yeah, absolutely. And then we kind of just and like you know play with the mind and think what could it be, and then yeah, people just have to try it out. Something that Namasi Navratam also did with Power Pages Speak Recognition. This is also someone who's tried something out. So much of a fun experiment.
Yeah. And he shared it with everybody. And yeah, he's from Kings County, which I know is a customer actually of Microsoft and Power Pages. So, and he did like speech recognition within Power Pages. That is so neat. And I've read through his article how he did it. Like, yes, it is a pro code approach, but using some of those other APIs that are available within browsers. And so you can imagine you build a form in a Power Pages site. And especially if you do it on a mobile app and you need to fill it in, you're out in the field and you're not all good with the thumbs and blah, 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 blah. Well, now you can just, the way he's done it, you just hit a button and you can talk and it will speak into that particular form field and fill that in. So amazing, amazing idea. Really, really cool to see that kind of information. And that's something that, again, it's going to stick in my head down the road. The customer's like, oh, we want to build a mobile app and we want to do voice recognition. Like, aha, there's a blog post. They talk about that. So,
yeah. Definitely. And it's so much fun to see people just trying things out. And this is maybe a far-fetched use case, but I am absolutely 100% sure that speech, if you're looking for a thing to dive into, like we talked about earlier, speech, speech and AI, go.
Yes.
And absolutely. You'll probably, yeah, never run out of work to do in the future because that's where we're going. So yeah, definitely something to check out. Yeah, and I think that kind of concludes the list. We are over time. None of us kept an eye on the time, I think. Yeah, last Boost Quest was about the balance between low code and pro code. You were kind of looking for some input. Have you gotten any comments on the post?
Franco responded to this. And yeah, it was just sort of, it's interesting about, you know, configuration, the fact that, you know, like this could probably be a whole other episode. So it's really like, I thought it would kind of create a bit of controversy, but I think everybody's sort of, we're going to that, like we talked about in our last episode, everybody's a developer. And to me, it's like, yeah, there was a one time where we were, you know, doing punch cards and then we moved to machine code and then scripting languages. To me, natural language is the next thing. So one last little segue into this was the fact of there is Copilot features are now into PowerFX, meaning you can write PowerFX kind of using that natural language. But it's, and you, I mean, those tools have existed, but now it's more embedded while you're building like Canvas apps and things like that. So there's another article we have here. I noticed we're going through like, ooh, we missed that one. So that ties into this next evolution of where we are going as developers. Like, and the thing is, I think Franco made the point, we still need to understand the code. We still need that skill set to put through instructions on something. I know, like, if I was to give somebody directions to my house, for example, I still need to be very, you know, conscious and sequence, like, turn here, go down this street, look out for this, travel 5 minutes, turn left. I'm doing that in natural language, but I still need that skill set to make sure I'm doing things in a linear order. I'm, you know, presenting things, okay, but watch out for this roundabout because it's very dangerous. Or, you know, and we've talked about this, you know, walking through this neighborhood, be aware of your surroundings kind of thing, right? So those types of natural language things, we still need that developer skill set, but we're just, our tools are evolving or different. So that was kind of the conversation where that Boost Quest is going a little bit now. But again, this could probably continue on for a while. So if you see that post, check it out. If you have some comments on there, if you don't, if you totally disagree with me, like, no, we still need pro coders and blah, 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 Copilot sucks, blah, 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 or no. Like, now everybody, we'd like, get rid of configuration. We'll just tell what we want and it will just produce it for us. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit us with all your opinions. That's what we want. Want the discussion going. Yes. So you're going to Dynamics Con next week and then Dynamics Minds.
Yes.
Then Collab Days and Resco next.
Yeah. Yes. And Resco.
Share with the people about Resco. Finally,
yes, we can announce it now. It's on LinkedIn. So it's funny. We talked about this podcast. We were inspired by Lisa Crosby and Megan Walker and the Up podcast. And of course, we're doing our podcast. And then, so what we're doing at Resco, me and Lisa are doing a live podcast episode. It's not Up podcast. It's not Boost podcast. It's, you know, a kind of a one-time thing. And we're talking about our favorite topic for all of us. We're talking about community and how community can accelerate your career, because that's the whole Resco.net theme is, accelerating productivity. Of course, they have a lot of great tools with their mobility in the mobility space. They're very well known. They have a lot of cool stuff. But we're talking about how the community can help accelerate a career. Because I would be honest, my career is nowhere where it would not be where it is right now, of course, with the community and what I've learned and how I interact. And even like we were talking about earlier, as an independent, I kind of rely on the community to sometimes help me along and get over humps and problems. So that's really what the theme of that, that discussion is going to be about. I'm really interested to sort of hear Lisa's thoughts on that as well, because she's heavily involved in the community. She does a lot of stuff. And I think her career, her YouTube channel has exploded over the last few years. So, keep an eye out for that. That will be, you know, like I said, I'm not exactly sure how it's going to be, probably going to be broadcast over LinkedIn, I'm guessing, but will be more details there.
Yeah.
And then,
and we'll put links in the show notes when that's live and where to get it. We'll share with the Boostgood accounts.
Yeah. And speaking of joint sessions at European Power Platform Conference after that.
Yeah, you and I have a joint session, 10 top tips about Power Pages. I don't know if there's still tickets available. We do have a Boost discount code for 10% off 2-day tickets. And then you're going to Vegas.
Yep, that came out this week too. Good job. Speaking of collaborating, so this would be different. Yeah. Like, Going like Victor Dantes and Franco Moose. So speaking of Franco and Victor, we spoke about them earlier. The three of us are doing a Power Pages workshop, kind of on a Top Gun style. This is, strap yourselves in, folks. This is going to be a right sign up now, because I have a feeling this could sell out. Just if I was to learn development in Power Pages, it'd be like, okay, am I going to go to another like, you know, boring workshop, or I'm going to go to these three clouds to see what they're going to do. So
the dynamic between the three of you, it's total package. You kind of just, yeah, you go for full circle. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome.
Yep.
You know, there's nothing you can learn about Power Pages that you won't learn from you three. So you kind of cover everything, and it's, oh, that's going to be so much fun. So bummed out. I'm going to miss it, but I'll hear all about it, I guess. And I'll see you at Nordic Summit and at Scottish Summit in October, because we'll have a live podcast recording of this podcast together at Scottish Summit. That was announced, or I'm not sure it's announced. We know, so keep it to yourselves.
Oh yeah, this is a sneak peek for our listeners directly.
Don't tell anyone. All right, so cool. Next episode will be May 29th, and that we will probably record together.
Yes.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I love talking to you today, and it's fun as always to record this.
I know. And you want to get out into the Norwegian sunshine, like they say, summer in Norway, best day of the year, right?
I know. Best day of the year. You'll have to just enjoy it while it's here. And then I'm going to have rain tomorrow, probably. No. Going to have a whole week actually of sun and summer. I'm so excited. And I'm sorry that you have rain, but you usually have better summers than me anyways, and more summer days. So kind of evens out.
You got to take the sugar with the shit. That's what we say, right?
Yeah. So safe travels tomorrow.
Thank you.
I'll catch you later in the week.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. Talk later. Bye. Thanks for listening. And if you like this episode, please make sure to share it with your friends and colleagues in the community. Make sure to leave a rating and review of your favorite streaming service, and makes it easier for others to find us. Follow us on the social media platforms and make sure you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening to the Power Platform Boost podcast with your hosts Ulrik Åkerbäck and Nick Dahlman, and see you next time for your timely boost of Power Platform news.